interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's a spooky one, in my opinion, from Florida. Yep, right off the bat tonight. They say it's one of the most ferocious insects you've ever heard of, about the size of a quarter. Its bite is so painful, it has been compared to being stabbed with a knife, and it's going to be invading Florida this summer. That's right, the Sunshine State, already home to man-eating sinkholes, invading Burmese pythons, swarming sharks, tropical storms, and other disasters, is now going to get an explosion, they say, of what is called a shaggy-haired gallinipper. Gallinipper, this is a giant type of mosquito. These eggs hatch after a rainstorm or flood, and the state saw a big jump in the number of gallinippers last summer after Tropical Storm Debbie. And they say that the eggs laid last year could produce a super crop of these blood-sucking bugs. These things, I mean, the eggs can lie there dormant for years. And they say that once they hatch, even in the larval stage, they're so tough, they can eat tadpoles and other small aquatic prey. And as adults, they're so voracious that, unlike mosquitoes, which generally feed at dawn or dusk, these things feed day and night, 24 hours a day. They're so strong, they can bite through clothing, they go after pets, wild animals, even fish. One expert here at the Tampa Museum of Science says, quote, it's about 20 times bigger than the sort of typical Florida mosquito that you'll find. And sure enough, it's so painful when you're bitten, it feels like you're being stabbed, end quote. The earliest description comes from 1897. One writer called this thing the meanest and most venomous of them all. So, might want to think twice before you head to Florida for vacation this summer. How about that? Well, hey, thanks for joining us, folks. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest. Connor, good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You know, Gala Nipper, more like Gala Biter, Gala Mauler.
Very well put. You're right. Yeah, Nipper is too
Gala Nipper.
Have you ever heard of this before?
I've not.
I mean, you'd think that if it's been around since 1897, at least, well, obviously it's always been around, but it's been brought to the media since then, and we've lived here, I think you could probably cross the boundary into Florida in what, maybe like 8 hours,
yeah.
You say, from where we've lived most of our lives?
Yeah.
Never heard of a Gala Nipper. So that's scary, though, because, you know, I had considered... at various points in my life, getting a second residence in Florida, but that's kind of
the Gallimauler is enough to keep you away from moving to Florida.
Well, you know how there are all these fears that people are tossing out there all the time that are just unrealistic. Well, one thing that is realistic is mosquitoes love me.
Right.
It doesn't matter where I go. If mosquitoes are around, if you could take whatever it is that oozes from my Adonis-like physique and bottle it, just put it in a big bag and hang it from a tree, nobody else would ever be bitten by mosquitoes. Mosquitoes go for all those pheromones. And I don't know why it is. They love whatever I'm producing so much.
I know that you've invested in clothing that's supposed to be mosquito resistant.
I'm actually wearing
one tonight.
Yeah, I think it's probably no longer good. You wash it 100 times, it wears out. But yes, so I'm wondering... If you're the type of person who attracts mosquitoes like this, do you attract the Gala Nippers? Because I couldn't leave the house if it feels like I'm being stabbed constantly.
Right. I mean...
They'd kill me!
Yeah, I mean, maybe certain people attract the mosquitoes, others attract the Gala Mauler.
I'd like to know what the answer is, actually. You know, we'll get to that. How about you, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop? Are you a mosquito magnet?
Yes and no. Occasionally, I'll get bitten, but usually it's not such a big problem for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what it is about me, then. Do you have this problem, Forrest? Do you get bitten a lot?
I do, but not as much as other people I know. For you, for example, I mean, I don't repel mosquitoes by any means, but I don't attract them. I mean, I've seen it before. I've been sitting next to you, and you're like, the mosquitoes are bad out here. I was like, one or two that's bit me.
So pretty much you guys stink, and I smell like a cupcake, right?
To mosquitoes, yes.
To mosquitoes, yes. And I don't, when I do get bitten, I don't scratch. I mean, I can just maybe scratch it once, and I'm, you know, instead of...
When I get bit, it's like, you know, they say don't scratch it, but you know, it feels so good to scratch it when...
And you're allergic to bees big time, right?
I am.
Yeah. So I haven't been stung by a bee in like 15 years or something like that. When was the last time you were stung by a bee?
Last time I was actually stung by a bee was we were up at Yellowjackets in particular. We were up at Johnny and Cindy Capp's place.
Mm-hmm.
Up at
Greystone.
Greystone.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got stung by a bee at that investigation.
I did. I got a little sweat bee or something that got me, but it didn't really do much to me. It's like yellow jackets and wasps and hornets are what really set it off.
Hmm. Well, listen, folks, if we all sound a little bit drunk, it's because, hey, it's St. Patrick's weekend, right? We've been out partying. Listen to that. We've been out partying our butts off. The Asheville Tattoo Fest is just insane. It is an explosion of pure just pleasure and hedonism. And so tonight is part two of our St. Patrick's Day editions, because we did one last year. Listen, see, I'm drunk. We did one last week about leprechauns and Shelley Wright and how they all fit beautifully together. And it kind of opened our eyes. See, look, she's not even smiling because I told you that I would, by the time I was done with Shelley Wright, she would not like leprechauns. She's going to be one of those Irish people who doesn't like leprechauns.
I'm fine as long as I don't get hit with more trivia questions.
Well, tonight, for part two of our St. Paddy's editions, we are talking about spirits and spirits. So basically the relationship between alcohol and ghosts and weird things. What do you think, Forrest?
I think it's a good idea, but I want to jump back to the tattoo fest earlier today.
All right.
I saw you eyeing a couple tattoos over there.
Yeah?
I mean, can we see if, did you receive a tattoo today?
I have not committed, but, you know, I did have a discussion with my wife, Lauren, about this. Lauren says, if you were going to get a tattoo, if you had to, what would you get? And so we had this conversation, and she told me what she would get, and I told her what I would get. And I concluded that if I absolutely had to get a tattoo, I would sure enough take these big, thick guns of mine here.
Right.
And I would get the Popeye anchor on them.
Ew.
And it would kind of make a statement about the way I feel about tattoos. It's like, if you're going to get it, you know, make sure that it represents something about your relationship to tattoos.
Right. Now, I was talking to Kelly. We talked to a couple artists today over there. It's like, we pretty much had the same discussion. It's like, you know, Kelly has a few tattoos.
Right.
And she's convinced that she's going to, I mean, she was convinced today that she's going to make me get one. Who knows? We might go back tomorrow and I might get one. But we were talking about what I would get.
Yeah.
And, I don't know where I would get it, but it would be a it would be my my.
Could I look at it at least without feeling embarrassed and shamed?
Yes, okay. You could.
When have you ever felt embarrassed and shamed?
But it would be, I've never looked as far as Connor's. Woo-hoo. Okay,
but it would be a.
There's a first time for everything.
True,
really.
True. It would be my my birthstone, not my birthstone, but my zodiac symbol, which is Aquarius.
Okay.
Intermingled with the Chinese zodiac of my sign, which is a dragon. So the Aquarius symbol somehow with the dragon intermingled into it.
Dragon's always a good bet.
Right.
Dragons always theoretically look cool. And, all right, so what would you get, Shelley, right?
I never thought about it.
Well, neither have I, but now we're thinking about it. So what would you get?
I don't know.
A leprechaun.
No, I don't think so.
A little shamrock right there, right?
Right there,
right,
huh?
There. I've actually seen that before on a lady.
I'm sure you have.
I've seen pictures of a woman who gets a tattoo of a guy mowing the lawn.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I won't tell you exactly where that is, but you can maybe figure it out. All right. So, yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's not quite my cup of tea, but if I do it, I love the ocean. I love the seafaring world. So, look, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get this show kicked off properly. You know, I was talking on the last show about these plagues of locusts that have invaded the Middle East. I mean, of biblical proportions, it's getting worse. I'll tell you about that, and I wonder, you know, does this have a connection to the galley nipper? Who knows? But ultimately tonight, yeah, we've got some good stuff for you. We're all having a party, and we're glad that you've decided to spend your evening partying along with us, because after all, it is a St. Paddy's weekend, and this is the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, and we'll be right back here on Speaking of Strange. I am sure I don't want no money, no gifts. Give me your mind, that's all silly. Put your faith, trust in me. I'll move your mountain, watch your sea. So you... I do. Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, and going out to high strangers around the globe. Hope you're having a fun and enjoyable St. Patrick's Day weekend. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Yeah, the program where the unusual becomes usual. And there's so much to talk about tonight. But, Farrah Shelley, I want to share something with you that just kind of weird, because we always talk about little signs that something big is going on. A meteor hits, we're invaded by locusts, you know, the seals of the Bible are being opened, whatever, right? But you think to yourself, like, I've never seen a meteor come crashing down. That's something I may have seen on the news. I've never seen that. I've never seen a plague of locusts. Maybe I've seen that on the news. I've never seen. So you have to instead look to the little things, the little trivial things that happen in your life on a day-to-day basis that make you think, perhaps this is one of the tiny little side effects from all the strangeness that's going on out there. Now, does that make you a very paranoid person? Perhaps. But listen to this. I was telling you guys before we went on the air, 20 years ago, I had contacts for like a week. And I didn't like it because you're not supposed to stick things in your eyes. It's just not natural to stick a thing in your eye. Right, Shelley?
Uh-huh.
You wear contacts all the time.
Yes.
You're used to doing something unnatural. You're used to poking yourself in the eye, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most girls are.
Well, that kind of makes sense, but I won't go into
mascara
that right now.
Mascara wand.
So, nonetheless, I got some contacts the other day for the first time in 20 years because when I go and snorkel, I want to be able to see all the fish. And if you put the mask over your glasses, it's kind of, you know, there's some leakage. Now, you can get prescription masks, but that's complicated. For now, I figure I'll just go get some contacts. So I get some contacts, and, you know, I go through these lessons about, you know, here's how to properly poke yourself in the eye, here's how to properly pull it out, and as a matter of fact, as I speak, my eyeball's sore right now, because I tried for like 10 minutes to pull this thing out of my eye, and I'm starting to freak out, like, oh my god, it's in my brain now. So anyway, the lady there at the eye doctor's place, she said, if you want to put a drop in your eyes, you got to use a special type of drops that we're not going to disrupt the contact. I don't know if it's going to make the contact weak or if it's just going to get stuck in your eye and you inhale. I don't know what happens. But you can buy, you see right here, I'm holding in my hand, Shelley, Clear Eyes, and it says contact lens. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is especially made for if you have contacts, it's just water, basically, that you pay $5 for. That's what it probably is. So anyway, I go to Walmart because I wanted to pay $3 instead of $5 for water. And so I go to Walmart. I buy this little bottle of Clear Eyes contact solution. I had my contacts in. So I went out to my car, and I figure, well, I'm going to put this in my eyes now. So I open the box up, I take the little bottle out. You know how they have the little plastic seal on the top
right.
of eye drops? I pull the plastic seal off, and immediately, just from the pressure of me holding the bottle, a little bubble pops up out of the top, and I realize there's no cap on this.
Uh-oh.
And I started thinking, like, is there some way, logically, this cap has just, you know, rocketed off of here. But no, these caps screw on. There's a screw there. And at first I thought, well, surely this thing had to have a cap on it. It's got the little screw helixy thing there, and it shows you it needs a cap. And I thought, maybe I can just get a cap from some other piece of, some other eye drops and screw on there. But then I start thinking, what if this is contaminated? And what's up with the fact that I got eye drops that are not sealed? And how does this happen, you know? And then I saw, start weighing everything. Like, oh, man, I got to walk all the way back across the parking lot. I got to go to customer service. I got to stand in line. And I got to get all for. But I figure, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. So sure enough, I walk across the parking lot. I take another 15 minutes out of my life to go to the woman there at customer service and say, I just bought these eye drops. And they were sealed with plastic, but there was no cap on it. And she says, wow, that I've never heard of that before. That's the weirdest thing. And we have this big conversation. You know, I've been working at Walmart. It's like, been on the force 27 years. You know, that kind of thing.
Looks like 50.
Never heard of it. So we trade out, and I get my new ones out, and it becomes clear. I mean, this is the new one. It's got the cap. There's no way in hell that the other one I got ever had a cap on it. So I think, why me? I never hit the lottery, but I buy the eye drops from Walmart that don't have the cap. What are the chances of that? Does that mean that literally a biblical seal has been broken, Forrest?
I don't know. That something similar happened to me. I went and bought a TV show at
local. You bought a show?
Well, like,
wow, you're a big shot.
On DVD.
Okay.
It was like, I think it came in 5 CDs.
Uh-huh.
The box was sealed.
Yeah.
And everything, and the CDs were, the CD cases were in there, but CD 3 or DVD 3, the case was there, but the DVD was not in there.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, you start looking around, it's like, well, where did it go?
That's an even more complicated problem, because now you just need to replace one part of a set.
And then you feel like an idiot going back and saying, there wasn't a DVD. And people are going to look at you like, yeah, right.
You always feel like that you're not going to be believed. That's what it feels like when you're charged with murder, but you didn't do it. Not that I know from experience. Well, okay, fine. You've seen The Fugitive, right? That's based on me.
One-armed man.
Yeah, it was the one-armed man. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. So, we were talking about the locusts that have been invading the Middle East. They're all over Israel now. Have you guys seen the pictures of these locusts yet?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen them? Yeah. They've been spraying insecticide everywhere. It doesn't matter. Swarms of them are all over Israel. And they say that they're hoping there won't be any more massive swarms. But you know what's kind of weird is that, you got these huge packs of locusts all over the place. We have this meteor that exploded in Russia. There's a comet passing around Earth right now. Any one of these things would have been viewed by ancient peoples as some kind of sign something's changing.
Well, and don't forget that, you know, these sinkholes have been opening up everywhere, swallowing people.
That's right.
The ground's opening up and
swallowing them whole.
In a golf course?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Florida. They never did find that one guy in Florida, did they?
Nope. Nobody's going to climb down in that. And do you guys remember that this time last year, I was traveling already, shooting Paranormal Paparazzi, and one of the first stories that we covered, actually I think it was the very first story that Eric and I covered, was the mysterious booms that have been taking place, and guess what? It's happening again, almost exactly 1 year later. Here's a story from Chesney, South Carolina. More or less right down the road, I guess. I don't know, how far is Chesney?
45 minutes,
hour. Say an hour. 911 calls about incredibly loud booms have been reported there. Two nights in a row, rattling the windows. It's the same thing you've heard over and over again. You know, it's almost redundant to read it. Over a wide range, nobody knows what's causing these. But is there a pattern? I remember when I was doing paparazzi, the astronomer I talked to in South Carolina said, you know, every February or thereabouts, all these bolide-type meteors come blasting through, and we don't have any scientific explanation for why that happens. We're going to take a break. When we come back, here's a story from Chicago, and believe it or not, they're posting photographs of corpses on the Cook County website there. I'll tell you about that and more. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual, speaking of strange. St. Patrick's Day editions of the show. And, you know, Forrest, before the program, I was talking to you about how there has to be a better way somebody has to invent of putting a contact in your eye
right.
than just poking yourself in the eye over and over.
Right.
And then taking it out's even worse because you're just like plucking the surface of your eye. It's horrible. So here I am. I'm trying to figure out how to do this with my super sensitive eyes. And
special eyes.
Reminds me of that scene from in Red Rednecks. Do you remember that, Forrest?
Super
Bubba.
Oh yes, my sensitive balls.
I start thinking. I get into invention mode. And I realize, okay, Forrest, when you go and shave,
right.
and you're kind of a hairy guy, you know, we both like to do the facial hair thing. When you go and shave up a little bit, what happens afterward? There's a little hair everywhere, right?
Yes.
And it's a pain. We all do the same thing. You wet your hand and you try to swipe the hair down the drain. Yeah. And you come back an hour later, and it's like, oh, where'd all this hair come from? I was thinking, what if you have like a piece of plastic that you just stroke with maybe a piece of wool or something like that, and you just clip it onto your sink, and electrostatically, all the hair that falls off your face gets sucked to this one little plate, and then you wash the plate off.
Yeah, but you run into the problem with water and all that good stuff there.
It might still work. I don't know. I have to try it out.
You use an electric razor, don't you? Why don't you just, you know, do that over the, you know, trash can?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you really need to see?
They fly all over the place.
Exactly. They fly everywhere. That's the point.
You poor, poor men and what you have to put up with.
We just realized something that women don't know about what it's like when a man... Because I know that women, you have to shave your legs, but you do that in the shower. But men, and men could shave in the shower, but most of us don't. Because we never shower, you know. We shower like once a week.
This is why those stinky bugs like you.
Yeah. The rest of the time, we're standing over the sink just trying to brush up a little bit before we go out on a hot date.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the hair just flies everywhere. So if we could have it all sucked one
place. Well, then getting back to the eye thing, you run the risk of using the electric razor. It flies into your eye.
And then you're doubly screwed.
It gets under your contact lens. And then the
eighth seal is now opened.
Yes.
And the locusts invade your bathroom.
You're just screwed.
Okay, here's a story from Chicago. For the first time, the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office has posted photos of corpses on their website. Unclaimed bodies. Trying to get somebody to identify them. It's generating controversy because of the graphic images. Now, I have not looked at this yet. Have you? I bet you're looking
at it.
You're looking at it. I can hear Forrest typing. I was like, oh, I know what he's doing. It says it contains information about when the bodies were found and where, along with all kinds of other case information. And, yes, you can clearly see the victims' faces. The medical examiner there says, quote, we're hoping that the photo can trigger somebody's memory. That you know that person grew up down the street from me, or that person used to live nearby. I know where their mom is. So many individuals are missing. Maybe this will give us an opportunity to locate them, et cetera, et cetera. So, which, you know, it does make logical sense to me.
Well, it makes sense, but, I mean, you're saying that they've done, like, sketches, right? They've
made
sketches.
No. These are photographs. My understanding is, and hopefully Forrest can confirm this.
Bring some up right now.
That these are actual photographs of the corpses.
Okay, that's not such good idea.
Really? I'm okay with it. I can see why that they're doing it, but I also see why that it's a little controversial.
Here you go, Mr. Warren.
Okay, look, right, boom. Yeah, see, that's not a sketch. That's a dead man. I am looking at a dead man's face.
Hello Kitty?
He doesn't look all that... Does he actually have a Hello Kitty tattoo?
It looks like it's smoking a pipe.
And he looks like he's alive, except he's just had a really bad day.
And has been hit in the middle of the forehead.
Okay, Forrest, what's the website address? How did you find that so quickly?
Actually, just do a Google search for Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, and it'll take you there.
So, what can you give us an example of some of the information that they're asking or revealing?
White male, 50s, 250 pounds, 6'3", short brown hair, hazel eyes, gray mustache and beard, pierced left earlobe. Right earlobe is pierced 3 times. Scar on the right posterior forearm. I'm looking for the Hello Kitty part.
Yeah. So, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, anterior upper right thigh, a cat with a pipe. Looks like Hello Kitty to me.
So, just think, someday, that could be you. You know, you could end up on the website. Maybe you die in Chicago, which could very well happen. Or maybe everybody else. Ooh, wow, that guy does not look good. He's
girl.
Is that a woman?
Yes.
That's a woman?
Ooh. Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, they're going to be able to identify her just by looking at her mouth.
This site's going to get just stampeded after this show, because, yeah, that mouth is... That looks like a Halloween...
It does.
...accessory. Ugh. Okay, well, you know, I'm for it. I say anything that helps them, you know, do the job, fine. And I know there are a lot of unclaimed bodies, and, you know, it makes sense that you'd use the power of the Internet. But can you imagine, guys, how many of these unclaimed-type bodies pop up after something like the tsunami or the earthquake in Japan? Well, I've got a story here from Japan. And they are saying here, and this is in Reuters, okay, this is not some little obscuro news source, that Japan is now being plagued by ghosts. So many people died so suddenly and unexpectedly that it's, I mean, they are bringing in exorcisms there left and right to try to stop this. Now, let me just say as a side note, I have a weird schedule, and one night, and you may have heard me say this on the radio, I was trying to sleep, but I woke up at some point in the night because I had this terrible nightmare. And in the nightmare were all of these women who were wearing the masks that, what do they call those masks? Boo. I got to be careful which word comes to mind here.
Right.
Kabukimon.
Kabuki.
Kabuki masks?
Yes.
Okay. Kabuki type masks. All these women were in mourning, and it was just like a really horrible, terrible dream. And I woke up, and I was so depressed and so rattled I couldn't go back to sleep. I literally went into my home office and sat down and started watching videos of my favorite stand-up comedians to cheer me up. That's like how bad I felt. And then Lauren woke up in the morning, and I told her, like, this is just a terrible day. I can't explain it, but I just feel awful. And then I checked the news, and I found out that right when I woke up, the earthquake had happened in Japan. So I really think that I sensed that somehow in my dreams. So that said, now I have this story from Reuters. And it says that the places where people are seeing these hordes of ghosts are those places, those areas where people were just completely swept away by the tsunami. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you more about the stuff that people are experiencing there, these ghosts, and then also how that, in a way, this story has a connection to what a man has endured as part of an exorcism in Sevierville, Tennessee. Now, if you've ever been to Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg, you've been right there around Sevierville. I mean, as a matter of fact, Pigeon Forge is in Sevier County. I don't think Gatlinburg is. I'm not sure. Do you know, Forrest?
I'm not sure. Right.
But it's just right there in the midst. So, when we come back, I'll tell you how this ties together, and gosh, tonight's just flying right by. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Same as my daddy, daddy knew before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. You only come a town about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line. Everybody knew that it made me shine. And I'm a revenue man on a granddad's bed. Hell, he left a holler with everything dead. For my time, but I've been told I'd never come back from Copperhead Road. We'll be right back. black dots. Called it an auction at the Mason Lodge. Shot the can of sheer painted on the side. Just a coat of primer in the
phenomena. 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 Phenomena.
Believe it or not, we're already winding down hour number one of tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, well, we're going to continue our theme here of St. Paddy's Day, and we're going to talk about the relationship between spirits and spirits. I'm talking about booze and ghostly and weird phenomena, because ultimately there is a very literal connection there. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. And our website is speakingofstrange.com. In fact, we'll see if maybe we can get some links up there to this Cook County Medical Examiner site. During the break, Forrest, you showed me a picture of an old man. He didn't look all that old. Maybe he was like in his late 60s, early 70s. Would you say?
Yeah.
And he was bald, but he had a long white beard and kind of a brownish mustache. But the funny thing is that his eyes, his blue eyes, were open. And you could tell that they were still fixed in the same position of focus.
On something.
He was looking at something right maybe 6 to 12 inches in front of his face when his soul escaped. And I think it was that tunnel of light. You can actually see this man's eyes fixed in that gaze on whatever he was looking at the moment his life left his body. Whatever he saw, I presume that we're all going to see eventually. We're not going to be able to come back and talk about it, I don't suppose. But we're all going to be there. Shelley, you look a little bit perplexed or disturbed or something. What?
Well, some people might not be able to come back and talk about it, but...
Yeah, but, you know, we won't know who to believe and what to believe. And you know, there are people out there who claim they've had near-death experiences, and they've gone to hell. And they've burned and come back. And then there are people who say they've gone to heaven and come back. So, I don't know. But I think wherever you go, whatever you believe, I do believe that there is that moment where you pass through a tunnel of light. And in Japan, my goodness, you know, these folks, they're traumatized after this earthquake and whatnot. I mean, so here's a story from Japan about a guy named Shinichi Yamada. He escaped the waves that destroyed his home, and he actually later salvaged a couple of Buddhist statues from the wreckage. But he brought them back to the temporary housing where he lived, and that's when he said strange things were happening. He said his two children suddenly got sick, and an inexplicable chill seemed to follow the family through the house. He says, quote, a couple of times I was lying in bed, I felt something walking across me, stepping on my chest. But here is the more amazing one. A woman there, Aizawa, 56 years old, she said that she has seen so many ghosts in her house. Says, quote, there are headless ghosts and some missing hands or legs. others are completely cut in half. People were killed in so many different ways during the disaster, and they were left in limbo. It takes a heavy toll on us. We see them as they were when they died. End quote. And so now, again, all of these different exorcists are being brought into Japan to try to deal with this. So I'm reading that story, and then I see this story from Sevierville, Tennessee, which, again, we're broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, so that's less than 2 hours away, Sevierville, right near Gatlinburg and, you know, Pigeon Forge. There's a controversy there. A Sevierville man alleges that he went to his Pigeon Forge church for a meeting there, and he came away with broken and cracked teeth and facial injuries because they decided to execute an exorcism on him that day. Oh, boy, I'd have loved to have seen that. I'd have gotten up early on a Sunday for this. Says here he's asking for $200,000 in compensation and $3.5 million in punitive damages. According to the lawsuit, members of the church asked this guy to attend a meeting there in Pigeon Forge. And then once he got there, they told him he had a demon that needed to be cast out. Let's see here. Quote, thereafter, the church members physically assaulted the man while being encouraged by the shouts of the pastor yelling to beat the demons out of him. I abandon my boy!
Do it!
I abandon my boy! You know what I'm talking about, Forrest. You've seen that movie. Shelley's like, what the hell is he talking?
You are commanded! You are commanded!
That's why I say that at the end of the show. It comes from an exorcism that I participated in. Maybe from now on, I'll, you have abandoned my boy! Or I know. Anyway. Broken tooth, bruising, lacerations to the face, pain, and lasting injury to his back and leg. The man alleges the pastor later bragged to the congregation that they, quote, punched the devil and knocked the devil's tooth out, end quote. Yeehaw!
Woo.
That's how you get religion down here in Tennessee, my friends. We're going to take a break. When we come back, well, party's just getting started. We're going to dig into the relationship between spirits and spirits, that is to say, booze, and the quote-unquote supernatural. It's part two of our special St. Patrick's Day editions. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, and it's called Speaking of Strange.